There was a very good publication last year, and obviously you have to keep in mind that all these factors interact. But they thought physical activity around 30%, so you could potentially prevent the clinical expression of Alzheimer's disease 30% of cases if people would adhere better to physical activity.
30%? I mean, that's huge.
That's massive, yes.
And another concept we need to get into mind before we continue the conversation is the growing understanding that Alzheimer's is a lifelong condition.
That's right. Potentially, I think, very exciting information. Some people find it rather scary, but newer studies show that the buildup of the pathological proteins in the brain, the amyloid and the tau protein, that this can happen over many, many years. In terms of amyloid, current estimates think 30 years in advance before any clinical symptoms emerge.
And that's why you believe that lifestyle factors are important, because if you get in during those 30 years, you might be able to divert people from their path.
That's correct. So if you imagine someone expresses first symptoms in their early 70s or early 80s, if you then work back 30 years, you end up in middle age. Research shows already now in some studies that you can make a difference on the concentration of these pathological proteins just by modifying your lifestyle.
Okay, let's just look at what's known. Obviously, nobody's done a randomized trial of 18-year-olds to see whether they get dementia, because you're going to have to hang around for another 70 years.
Yeah.
But what's the evidence here?
The evidence needs to be grouped in with whom you're doing these randomized control trials, whether these are middle-aged, healthy people or older people without any cognitive problems, or if you rather try a randomized trial with people who express already concerns about their memory or have what we call mild cognitive impairment, which is very often considered an early stage of emerging Alzheimer's disease. And it's not consistent findings, so you have negative and positive findings, but we have increasingly more often publications which show that regular physical activity can improve cognition.
In healthy people,
but also in people with memory complaints and mild cognitive impairment, and more recently that it can also still be of benefit for mental health and cognition, even in people who have already been diagnosed with, let's say, mild Alzheimer's disease.
Now, when you say physical activity, is this a little walk down the street? Or as some would suggest, it's actually got to be quite intensive.
Yes, that is very intensely debated. What we are talking about is mainly aerobic exercise. So that means if you use the example of walking down the street, you have to walk fairly fast. So we call that moderate to vigorous. So to give you an example.
So you can't complain about the children.
Yes, you have to walk.
You won't have enough puff to do it.
That's right. You have to work up a sweat, and you have to have more intensive breathing so that it's intense enough. So it's not the stroll with a walking buddy where you have a chat or you stop at every corner with your dog. Other aerobic activities could be, for example, in the gym or riding the bike or pedaling away on a stationary bike. More recently, the evidence also showed that you can improve the benefits for cognition if you combine that with resistance training. Training specifically certain muscle groups with weightlifting.
And how often and how for how long? What's the dose?
In general, the recommendation what older Australians should do is around 150 minutes of physical activity across the week of this at least moderate nature. And that would be the minimum.
Now, you've done some work when you were in Western Australia. Just tell us what studies you did.
It was actually the first study which published findings with people who had already concerns about their memory or mild cognitive impairment. So we just invited community members from the Perth catchment area with these symptoms to participate in a walking program. And it was for 6 months. The target was that everybody should reach the 150 minutes. And we compared that with a control group. And what we found was really to our surprise how striking the effect was, that after the 6 months, the cognition was clearly much better than in the control group, but it had an ongoing effect. So even a year later, you could still see the effect.
Now, some people have argued that when it comes back to this nature of the exercise, that it may be the exercise or it may be the thinking that you have to do the exercise. So if you're telling people it's got to be resistance training, actually counting the reps.
Yeah.
is part of the cerebral training and it's not the exercise. What's your view on that?
I think that's a very exciting theory, and I think it has to do with our knowledge that cognitive activity in general, where you learn something new or you challenge your brain, is also considered a protective factor for cognition. And so the argument is now increasingly to combine these protective factors gives you a better effect. So that's why studies now focus on physical activities where you have much more of a cognitive component, like dancing, where you have to learn steps, or Tai Chi. And even research now which is attempting dual task, meaning you are in a gym, you do for a certain period of time a physical exercise, and then you do a cognitive exercise, so you alternate. So there might be something promising there.
And what if you've already got, so you're talking about people with mild cognitive impairment, their memory's not quite what it used to be, they may or may not be heading for Alzheimer's disease, thinking ability is slowing down. What if you've actually already got a diagnosis of dementia, particularly Alzheimer's disease?
Yeah, this is quite exciting because very often people are quite concerned if someone has been diagnosed with dementia that they're quite vulnerable and might not be feasible to do anymore, learn a new strategy like physical activity.
So they might fall and hurt themselves.
They might fall, or there was also the concern that they might lose weight, which is not what you want to do if you have Alzheimer's disease. But really, now several studies across the globe has shown if you select the physical activity carefully and make sure you prevent falls and the communication is appropriate and it's interesting to the individual, that you can also have lots of benefits in someone who has already a diagnosis. So I think effectively it should be part of clinical management.
And why would this be happening? What is the effect of physical activity? Some people say it stimulates nerve growth factor, so more nerves grow. Some people say it's increased blood supply. And as I just said, some people think it's actually the mental stimulation you get when you do exercise. Mm. What's your view?
I think it's probably very complex, but it looks like you have direct effects on the brain, where, as you say, specific nerve growth factors are more activated and you have a build-up of more connections between the individual nerve cells, even in an older brain, or excitingly, even volume increase in important areas for the memory, like the hippocampus, with physical activity. But there are also all the indirect effects, which might be even more relevant, the benefits to the heart, reducing high blood pressure, increasing the blood flow to the brain, fencing off diabetes or improving diabetes. And we know that all of these activities also benefit to limit or reduce the risk for stroke or further heart disease. So it's probably a combination. And then obviously you also have the positive psychological effects that feel good about it.
And to what extent is the improvement in thinking ability and memory to do with improvement in mood?
It has been investigated.
Given that depression
is a major risk factor. It's always the question, if you have a positive finding, could it be just due to improvements in mood or reductions of anxiety? But that has been investigated, and usually there are independent effects. So it seems to benefit both, but it's usually not the case that the improvement in cognition is explained by the improvement in mental health.
And where does diet fit into this?
Diet is extremely important. It's probably in terms of knowledge how diet connects to cognition in the brain when we age, a bit behind the knowledge we have with physical activity. Understandable, diet is a very complex issue. But there is emerging research showing that if you combine a healthy diet, so usually in the context of Alzheimer's disease, we call it a Mediterranean diet, trying to eat lots of greens, lean meat, fish, olive oil, that combined with physical activity has an improved effect on cognition.
And what's your research involved with now?
Oh, at the moment we're looking at various avenues. One avenue which is important to explore is how do we change behavior? Because it's one thing to hear the message that we should all be more physically active, and we know that from our own lives. It is often very challenging to include that in a daily routine. But you can imagine it might be even much more challenging if you're an older person, have already memory complaints, have medical history or arthritis, other things. So the challenge we have is that very often people, although they hear the message and get education about it, don't feel confident to change their behavior. So we are running a trial at the moment in Melbourne where we invite older adults who complain about their memory changes who are sedentary, meaning they're not doing any physical activity at the moment, and trying to find out whether with an approach where we set individual goals, so rather than saying to a person, we want you to improve on a memory test which is meaningless to you, we ask them, why are you here? Why do you want to change your behavior? And identify goals which make sense to them. Let's say, I want to become fitter so that I can play with my grandchildren, and see whether that is a better way to help them to change behavior and maintain the positive behavior. Another approach we are exploring is using volunteers who live in the same catchment area, the same age, but are already physically active, so that they have basically a coach, because it has been shown older people are much more prepared to listen to advice from their same aged peers than from much younger people.
And as a doctor, has this knowledge and your research findings over the last few years changed your practice?
Definitely. So I work on a regular basis in a memory clinic, and I would now make it a part of my feedback when I discuss the results. Let's say someone is diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment or even Alzheimer's disease, that I would talk to the patient as well as the family about the importance of healthy diet, importance of regular physical activity, and also having a socially engaged, cognitive stimulating environment. Obviously, for every person that means something else, and then it is about discussing what are the individual preferences, what are the barriers, and involving also the primary care physician, the GP, and other people around the patient to help them look at how could we start this healthy behavior.